To the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott, director of Pro Life Colorado. I'm sitting in for Bob today because he's down in Colorado Springs at a trial, the trial that he's involved with Focus on the Family. So is my husband. They're both down there trying to get Dobson to own up to his pledge or take it down, one or the other. He's pledged before God that he would never again vote for a man or a woman that would kill an innocent child, and since then he's violated that pledge over and over again, since 1992, that is. So they're down there because they did a sit-in in the lobby of the Welcome Center, which is, you know, it's a center that welcomes everybody, and they sat down. They just didn't want him sitting down, I guess, but they asked to speak to Jim Daly, the president of Focus on the Family, and that was denied, and so now they're going through a trespassing case with Focus on the Family, so you might be praying for that. We'd love for this to be resolved outside of court and for Dobson just to take down the pledge, or better yet, live up to it. So also today, Bob's doing an interview with someone in Lansing. He's going to be doing an interview with Christ News Service in Lansing, so that should be encouraging. Oh, and if you want an update on the protest at Focus, you can go to ARTL Action, American Right to Life Action, and on the internet and get an update. He'll probably have it updated later on tonight after they get back. And I have two people here in studio with me that are going to be talking to us about King's Kids. The Ronnie and Marcella Morris are here with me, two of my heroes. Actually, I think what they do is amazing. Not too many people would take on the task that they have. But first, before we are able to interview them, Bob did a really interesting interview with Adam McManus out of San Antonio, Texas, yesterday. Apparently, he has a pretty large radio talk show there himself. And he saw the FOCA press release that we released yesterday. Read it and called, and Bob did about an 8-minute interview with him on the issue of FOCA, and that's the Freedom of Choice Act that a lot of pro-lifers are really worried about overturning some laws. There's some parts of FOCA that I don't want to see happen, others I'm not too worried about, but I'm going to run this.
He's debated Al Sharpton, Alan Combs, and Barry Lynn. With enemies like that, you know Adam McManus is the right man to host right here on AM 630 KSLR.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Bill Keller of LivePrayer.com on the inaugural prayer he would have prayed had he been asked. He thinks Rick Warren's prayer fell short. We turn, though, now to Bob Enyard with American Right for Life and talking about the Freedom of Choice Act that Obama has committed to sign into law that would, as your group has maintained, press the reset button and overturn every pro-life accomplishment since 1973. What is the possibility that this would come to his desk in short order, Bob?
Adam McManus, thanks for having American Right to Life on. Certainly there's a Democratic House and Senate. FOCA, the Freedom of Choice Act, has been part of their agenda for a long time. So this certainly could happen. He said it would be the first thing he would do as president is to sign the Freedom of Choice Act. But Adam, we at American Right to Life, we look at this a little bit differently. Of course, the Democrats, they want to kill unborn children, and that's a tragedy. But we conservative Christians, we have been passing laws for decades, and these have been regulations that say, well, if you wait 24 hours, then you can kill the baby. Or if you do it this way and not that way, then you could kill the baby. And we think that FOCA is showing us a failure on our part. We have not been building on a firm foundation. We have done almost nothing to teach the government and the public that an unborn child is a person that has the God-given right to life.
Well, I agree with your philosophy, but I guess there are many in our listening audience who say, but you can only get past what you can get past. And if we can pass parental notification, parental consent, informed consent, sonograms, partial birth abortion ban,
yeah,
it's better to save some lives than none.
It's always better to save some than none unless you're doing something wrong. And if you do something immoral, then your efforts will backfire. So, Adam, what we've done is we conservative Christians, we have put 60% of the federal judges in office. They've come from pro-life Republican presidents, and the federal judiciary is solidly pro-abortion. It's pro-homosexual, anti-Christian, pro-abortion. We have taught our judges, our conservative judges, we've taught them that the baby does not have a right to life. The baby is not a person, because if we thought the baby was a person, we would not advocate regulating how to kill the baby.
What would you propose, then, that we pursue in terms of a legislative agenda, and now with a nearly filibuster-proof Democrat majority and a very left-wing pro-abort president?
Right. Instead of teaching the public and our own judges that the baby is not a person, because our judges could regulate how to kill the little baby boy and girl, we have to teach our officials and the public that the baby is a person with a God-given right to life. That has to be the unified message from the body of Christ. And if it is not, we will spend the next 40 years regulating abortion with a swinging gate that is as passing as an election cycle. So 30 years of effort can be down the drain with a signature. And that's according to World Magazine and Americans United for Life and National Right to Life. Adam, this is demonstrating that our effort has been misguided. Jesus said, don't build on sand, build on solid rock. So we need to change our strategy to one of personhood.
Do you like the approach that Ron Paul has taken over the years, although it hasn't gained much steam?
Well, Ron Paul has said this, and we think that this is a tragic mistake. He has gone from acknowledging that the baby has a right to life to saying that the states should decide whether you can kill a baby in the womb. And we would never allow the states to decide if you can kill a Jew, gas a Jew, or lynch a black man, an innocent black man. Human rights trump states' rights. And no state, no country in the world has the authority to veto God's enduring command, do not murder. So states' rights, states, cities have rights. But none of those rights, no subdivision of government, has the right to supersede God's enduring command, do not murder.
What's your website for people to learn more?
Thank you, Adam. It's AmericanRightToLife.org, AmericanRightToLife.org, and our big press release is right there at the top.
You know, I have been deeply troubled by what can only be described as a lurch to the left or a palling around with the kind of an insider beltway mentality of National Right to Life Committee that seem more willing to sell out the Right to Life movement than the pro-aborts do.
Well, you know, the Washington Post reported that National Right to Life received hundreds of thousands of dollars in payments from the Republican National Committee, which is backwards. Normally, lobbying groups give money to politicians, but they've effectively been bought. So a few years ago, their report on John McCain, the title of the report was John McCain is a threat to the pro-life movement. And in the couple years since, he's become even more pro-choice. But now, because he was the nominee of the Republican Party, they said he's 100% pro-life. So that is a sellout. We need to tell Christians the truth. In San Antonio, Texas, Vision Forum is located there. And those guys were heroes warning Christians around the country that John McCain was solidly pro-choice and National Right to Life was lying to them.
Well, I know Vision Forum well. In fact, Doug Phillips and I partner on many occasions. We are thrilled with his leadership and just came off the San Antonio Christian Independent Film Festival. I hope that on your website, I have not had a chance to look at it, AmericanRightToLife.org, that you are willing to expose the the lies that are coming from the National Right to Life Committee, and including the Republican Party or Republican National Committee, funding and basically buying off the Right to Life Committee so that they get covering to pro-abort Republican candidates like John McCain.
Well, we do that. And Adam McManus, the next round is this lie that Mitt Romney is pro-life. Mitt Romney gave us $50 tax-funded abortions, elective surgical abortions in Massachusetts. That is radically pro-abortion for the governor to push to provide abortions by tax dollars, surgical abortions for elective, meaning any reason.
We've got only 30 seconds left, but I have heard, although not seen substantiated, rumors that Mitt Romney had made substantial donations to pro-life, pro-family groups, either to buy their or to buy their endorsement.
It's true. And the documentation is available, Adam. Perhaps we could do another show on that sometime.
I appreciate your time. Bob Enyart of American Right to Life. Learn more at their website, AmericanRightToLife.org. You seem to be the gutsy national Right to Life group.
We think so. We ask God for the courage and wisdom to do what's right and take a stand.
Bob Enyart, thanks for joining us today on the Adam McManus Show.
Thanks.
Coming up next, we will feature for you Rick Warren's inaugural prayer. We'll critique it, and we'll bring on Bill Keller of LivePrayer.com.
Well, folks, that's encouraging. That is a man that's a radio talk show host in San Antonio, Texas, Adam McManus, and he actually understands what we're doing. That's amazing. It's very rare that we run into someone that gets it right off the bat, but we should have known he knows Doug Phillips, so that's a feather in his cap, and he works with him, so that's pretty good. But now I want to get to our guests today, Ronnie and Marcella Morris. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Ronnie and Marcella are a couple that run a ministry called King's Kids. And every year, they come down to Planned Parenthood with the kids once a year, sometimes more. And the kids help me to save babies. They spend the day. And they're not just kids that are there because they don't have anything else to do. Their parents said, you're going. They're there because they want to be. And they're there because they want to be, because Ronnie and Marcella make that difference in their life. And to me, that's amazing. And they're middle school kids, aren't they?
They're 8 to 18 years old.
8 to 18. The kids that I talked to last Friday night, they were how old?
Yeah, I think most of them were probably 10 to 18.
I talked to you, Ronnie, last week, and you said you wanted to get those kids by the time they were 10. Why is that?
Well, yeah, after 10, they're just hard to reach. We do a lot of work with the Cro-Natives, and we've just found after 10, they're lost in the world. So, yeah, middle age is where we really hit home, and that's where we love to have them out on the streets.
And I was amazed and impressed by the sincerity of these kids. Mm-hmm. They were young. I did some speaking to them a week ago, Friday night, mm-hmm. and I said I'd love questions. And the hands were up. They had thoughtful questions, and they were ambitious about what they wanted to know. On the abortion issue, and that's rare for me to see, to tell the truth. I usually get kids that are skeptical or not, you know, they're there because they have to be there. So this was neat to see that kind of interest from that age group. And I know because I was a teacher and junior high was not the age group I really wanted to teach, because they're really hard, and you've jumped in and taken those kids and really whipped them into shape. Now, one of the things that you did with these kids was you took them to China last year, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a team of about 12 went to China, to Kunming, and they did evangelism out on the streets of China. And in that, the last week that they were there, through their dramas and talking to people on the English street corners, they saw 20 people come to the Lord in China.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. And through their street dramas, what mm-hmm. are they doing?
They had different songs that they would do that are offensive to a lot of people in a lot of ways. Just different songs that they've made up a skit to, basically, is what it is, and displays the gospel in a way. And they would go out on the street and talk, and they're uninhibited. That's why we work with kids. They will share their heart with anybody.
I saw that on Saturday when you brought them down. We have some pretty hardened security guards at the Planned Parenthood here. And those kids, one right after the other, would go and talk to that security guard and just share their heart and ask him questions. He would answer them where he wouldn't answer adults. Like he said he needed the money. And I heard one of the children say, well, money is going to waste away. What can money do, you know?
And I think that's part of the reason we were there. John and I talked about after King's Kids, our local team meets the second Saturday of every month. And we were talking and we said, that's a lot of why we were there is nothing else for that guard to know what he's doing is also wrong.
Right. What he's doing is wrong and out of the mouths of babes. You know, he can write us off, but those kids are innocent and they were begging him. And I just love seeing it happen. Now, do you have, where do you meet twice a month?
We meet in Kingdom Connection down in Aurora at a church that's opened up the church for us to meet in. A lot of the kids are from Aurora, a little school called Cedarwood Christian Academy. And we have kids from other places too, but our majority come from that little Christian school in Aurora. We'd love to have anybody come. And we meet the second Saturday everybody meets then. High school meets on Friday night, so we can have a little more discipleship with them one-on-one time.
I see. So what times? What are the times?
Friday at 7, and then the kids spend the night, the high schoolers, and then everybody else comes in at 9 o'clock on Saturday.
So you spend the night with high schoolers?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're really my hero now. So you're not sleeping much.
No, but it sure is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. It's rare to meet people with a heart for kids that are willing to take that much time with them. But, Ronnie, I'd like you to talk to us a little bit about the Crow Nation in Montana. Am I right?
Yes, we're 500 miles north of here as a Crow Nation. We've been involved up there since 97. We went up there and started a ministry with youth with a mission called Cowboys with a Mission. And out of that, we built this relationship with the Crow Natives and started ministering there.
So these are Indian families?
Yes. We have a foster home we started building. It'll be 2 years ago this June, 5,000 square feet with 11 bedrooms.
So this is more than a foster home. It's sort of like an orphanage, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. They're the unwanted. 50% of the young people in the foster system in Montana are Native Americans.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of Crow children. And over 50% of the Native Americans are under the age of 19.
Why do you think this is happening there?
They're the unwanted. I mean, they're definitely the unwanted of the nation that we've seen, and God will take those that nobody wants.
Yes.
And we love young people, especially if God has chosen them, and we believe they are chosen, and we believe God has a plan for every one of them to the nations, not just their nation, but I believe every young person has a call to the nations. Amen.
Yeah. What do you think is the reason that these kids, they don't have parents? I mean, are they just being thrown into the street or?
Yeah, drugs and alcohol are a big influence. And, of course, meth has moved into the reservation big time. So you've got, all that influencing the families and just destroying the families. And out of that, you see, just like in Africa, HIV has destroyed the families. You see this huge a multiplication of young people. I just see an army of young people that can go forth into the world. And I believe God has a plan at this time for those young people.
So now you have 11 bedrooms that you're going to fill with kids, discarded children, broken children. And you're going to try and get them as young as possible.
Yeah, the foster home has been running already. So it's not when I prayed, God showed me, I believe God is doing something everywhere. And I said, God, what are you doing there that we could be a part of? And he mentioned this family, the Bartletts, and they've been fostering young kids since 82. And so we're just picking them up and moving them out of what they're living in into a bigger facility so they can run their foster system, and we can be involved in what they're doing.
So do you have a website for this or a way for people to contact you through about the foster system?
Yeah, you go to kkdenver.org.
kkdenver.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the front page of the Billings. If you want to go to the archives and the Billings, we've been on the Billings front page 3 times in the last year.
It's called the Billings from Billings, Montana?
Billings Gazette.
Oh, Billings Gazette. Okay. In Montana. So you're on the front page because they actually see that you're doing something, right?
Yeah, we've got a lot of people involved from Billings, and we're very thankful for the contractors out of Sheridan, Wyoming, and out of Billings, and people that have come in and been involved in just building that foster home. God has brought in a huge amount of people. It's just been a real blessing, and the money and the finances. We started with $2,000 2 years ago.
And you've been able to build this facility for them, the
yes.
Bartletts.
Yeah, we're laying the flooring right now, and then we'll have the cabinets to finish up.
So are you up there often, Ronnie?
About once a week. Once once a month.
Oh, I see. And then you're up there working with the crew when you go?
Yeah, we do a lot of outreach to the crew. And then we took one crew girl went with us to China this summer. Ray Dawn Tinbear was her name. And so we get to take her. And I believe they all have a big influence in Asia. She knows it.
What do you mean? Tell me.
She has shared that she knows she's called to the nations, and she wants to take young people to the nations. So
how
we're
old
excited.
Is she?
She's 19.
19. Oh, wow. That's really neat. And she has a different...
And she's been in foster care all of her, you know, most of her life with this family. They've raised her as a Christian in the foster care.
Wow. Thank God for families like that and you guys that are willing to help them. I want to go back to China for a minute. I was talking to some of the kids on Friday. They said they led a Muslim family. Do you know much about that story? They led a Muslim family to the Lord?
As I know, as they really shared with them, we weren't with this team, unfortunately. We had to split the team, and so we took the other half that didn't see 20 people to come to the Lord, but our inheritance is with those kids. I know they were at the street corner just witnessing and sharing, and the family did come back, and they were Muslim. And I think a lot of the others of the 20 that they led to the Lord were Muslim also, because that's kind of the country there. So I don't know a lot. It'd be great to have one of those kids come and share there with you.
Well, they told me that after they had prayed to receive Jesus, that the family just kept hugging him, hugging him, and didn't want to let go.
Yes.
And it's so wonderful to see a people that has no hope gain hope through Christ.
Amen.
You know, that they don't have hope. There's nowhere for them to go, especially the women.
Well, I think the fun thing with these kids is that they know their Jesus. And as a pastor says on the reservation, a lot of these people have heard about Jesus. They haven't seen Jesus. And these kids are Jesus to the world. And that's why we love to work with them.
It's so important that kids start young. And, you know, so many groups that I've seen, youth groups, the kids are being entertained. And they're not, you know, they'll have a little Bible study, but the most of what the youth group does is entertain. These kids don't look like they've been entertained.
We do hard things. I mean, we do hard, sweet things. I mean, we don't meet to stay in a church. Everything we do is outreach-oriented. Philemon says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so you'll have a full understanding of everything you have in Christ. So it's important. And that's I believe that's the reason why there is no church in Colorado. It's because we haven't been active in sharing our faith. And I want to talk about some heroes that I know, Ken and Joe.
Ugh.
I love to come down, and I encourage anytime you can come to the clinic and see what God has called these, my heroes, do on the streets of Colorado. I pray that you do so.
Amen.
Well, thanks for the plug. And yes, we need people, but we also need people to contact you, especially if you're thinking about you're being called to youth ministry. Contact Ronnie and Marcella Morris at King's Kids, because they know how to do it. These kids are not, they're not looking for the next entertainment program. They're ready to go. They're really ready to go. And they're obedient on the street. They're not unruly. They're not sitting around. And I've seen this. Kids will come down there, sit on the sidewalk and say, I'm bored. When are we going? That didn't happen. I mean, they were on my ladders. They were talking to the security guards. They were asking the adults that have been there for a long time questions. And they were just a godly example of what well-trained children can be. I would suggest that a lot of you parents go and let them train you because they're good.
And we would be glad to help any youth groups that need to set up outreaches. We have a lot of contacts, a lot of ways, and that's part of what we do too. It's not just exclusive. We are interdenominational. We are a part of Youth with a Mission.
And you're planning on being in Africa this summer?
Africa and Montana this summer. We'll taking teams over. We'll work in a foster home in Montana. You can also see that on our website, again, at kkdenver.org.
That's fabulous. People go to that website. If you have the heart, support them. They need it. They do a fabulous job with kids, and in Montana, kids that nobody wants. You know, God told us to love the unlovely, and that's what these guys are doing.
And we'll be taking a team up there the 1st of June also to Montana. So if you like to play basketball, you want just an in-state, in-country, find out there, and we'll take you to Montana with us also.
And how much is it, like, a trip to Montana cost the person going?
About $375, which will take your transportation, food, and lodging. You'll take care of everything.
For how long?
For a week.
Wow, that's fabulous. I'm going.
Okay, we'll take you.
I'd like to go to Montana and work, because my family is Indian. And I could not get away from it fast enough because of the culture. I love my family. I don't mean to say I don't, but the culture is very hard on children. I didn't want my children to have to grow up in that. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Ronnie and Marcella, for coming and so much for everything that you do. We appreciate you mightily.
Thank you.
I want to remind everybody out. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow is the March for Life on the west steps of the Capitol. You don't want to miss Eric Metaxas's talk. He learned a lot writing that book on William Wilberforce, and he's also doing one on Bonhoeffer. Now, don't forget, folks, Maranatha is the best Christian school around. Call them, enroll your kids, and feel safe about where your kids are being educated.